like the chance to get back to his hidey hole in the back, you know. So I will take my time here. Turn to my passage of scripture today. All right. How many of you today are ready to dig into the word of the Lord? Are you ready? Because if you're not ready, we'll wait. I'm stalling for time. But I want you to be ready today. Okay. What are some things that you hope will last forever? Let me maybe give you a few examples today. How many of you would like for your marriage to last forever? Raise your hand. Oh, my wife's got jokes this morning. Okay, how about your car? How many of you need that old jalopy to run for about another 100,000 miles? Yeah, me too. Okay, we live in Florida. Let's just call it like it is. How many of you hope that your roof will last forever? Yeah. Given the state of things right now, buddy, I need my roof to last about 5 lifetimes. I don't think it's going to work out, though. Or my favorite, how about your gum? You know, Big Red always made the claim that it lasts a really long time. But I always hate when I'm chewing on gum and all of a sudden the flavor's gone and it's just horrible, bitter-tasting goop. But here's something I want you to think about today. What about your happiness? How many of you would like to know that your happiness is something that could last a lifetime? Me too. Do you know what long-lasting happiness is called? It's called joy. It's called joy. And so today we are going to begin a brand new series of messages as we study kind of the main themes through the book of Philippians. Now I'm going to come right out of the gate and tell you, we are not really doing a verse-by-verse study of the book, but I want to hit the major topics, the running themes of Paul's letter to this church at Philippi. And I'm calling this message, this series, Abounding Joy. And the reason that I chose this particular title is because joy is at the very heart of Paul's entire letter to this church. I believe that now is the time to rediscover joy, because I believe it is the key element that is missing in our world today. We have become a society focused on happiness instead of joy. And I want to tell you today, there is a vast world of difference between happiness and joy. For starters, happiness is only a temporary feeling of euphoria. Joy, on the other hand, is something that is long-lasting. Happiness ends at the very first sign of any sort of opposition, but joy endures hardship. Happiness is primarily about me. It's about the self, but joy is about you and me, us, together. Happiness shifts with the winds of culture. But joy is steadfast in adversity. And so over the next few weeks, we are going to discover the keys to not only obtaining, but maintaining abounding joy in our lives. And so this morning, we are going to look at the abounding joy that is ours in serving Christ. And you heard me right. There is joy to be found in serving Christ. Now, let me be very clear, because joy in serving goes against everything that our society teaches us. It's supposed to be about me, myself, and I, not about others, certainly not about serving others. Our world wants us to believe that we should only care about ourselves And that serving, if we do it at all, serving should be done out of some kind of selfish ambition or perhaps a remedy for guilt. But see, Jesus does something crazy. Jesus taught the exact opposite of this thinking. Because Jesus said things like, whoever wants to be greatest must become the least. Jesus says to serve the least of these. And oh boy, Jesus even dares to say things like, wash one another's feet. Ugh. How do we get to that point in a life of service? If we serve to find happiness, then I promise you that you will grow weary in doing good. But Paul reminds us of this very simple truth in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, when he says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. The only way that this can happen is through the abounding joy that we discover in Christ Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles or your preferred Bible app on your phone or a tablet, whatever you've got, I want you to have the Word of God in front of you in some way. And I want you to turn your attention with me to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 11 this morning. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Amen, right? From our text this morning, I want us to examine why and how we are to serve Christ with joy, how we can find and acquire that abounding joy in serving Christ Jesus. Number one is that we can serve Christ with joy because God began this work in us. We can serve Christ with joy because God began this work in us. Paul begins his letter by offering thanks to God for this little church in Philippi. But why? Why was he doing this? It was because the church at Philippi had discovered the pure joy that is in Christ. Paul was seeing God's salvation coming to fruition in this little band of believers. In verse 6, Paul states that it is God. It isn't Paul. It's God who started a good work in these Christians, and that God himself was going to bring their faith to completion in Christ Jesus. It is when we give ourselves over to God, our creator and sustainer, that he will build us, he will mold us into the creation that he wants for us to be. And part of what God desires for us is to be servants of his and to serve with joy and gladness in our hearts. You know, I saw this satirical cartoon just the other day of a man and woman who were sitting together in a pew at the church. And both of them were happy. They had smiles on their faces when the man leans over to the woman and says how glad he is to be a part of this new church. The woman then responds with, "Well, me too, as long as they don't ask me to tithe or serve or help in any way." I laughed at that. But I also realized that's kind of the attitude of a lot of people today. I love the church and I love Jesus. Just don't you dare ask anything of me. But do you believe, and I want to know, do you believe that this is how God desires for Christians to be? Is this the purpose that God has for us? Is to dress up nice, some of us, meh, not so much. To come to church, to have a seat in the pew for about an hour or so, listen to the preacher yak for a few minutes, and then, well, I'm done. I've got my Jesus fix for the week, and I'm good. Is that what being a Christian is all about? Gosh, I hope not. If God is working out his salvation in us, then Paul will say that we will bear fruit. We will bear the fruit of that service. You see, service was an integral part of the life of Jesus Christ himself. And I won't spoil it for you, but when we get to chapter 2 of Philippians, we will see how Christ became the ultimate example of what it means to be a servant. But here in chapter 1, we see that Paul is honoring, he's showing honor to the service that this church was doing. You see, it was the Philippian church. They were the primary supporters financially of Paul's ministry. It was the Philippian church who greatly supported the suffering church that was dealing with plague and famine in Jerusalem. It was the Philippian church who was now financially supporting Paul while he sat in a Roman prison cell. It's this church who sent him money to make sure his needs were cared for. They even send a servant, this church does, they send a servant to attend to Paul's needs in a prison cell. They were ministering to him while Paul was in chains for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church in Philippi, they understood completely the need to serve Christ with joy because it's the only way they knew how. And look, this was not a well-off church. If you study the ancient history at the time, there was great suffering going on in Philippi. They were being persecuted. If you claimed the name of Jesus, they destroyed your business. They would take your families. They were suffering. Not only that, they were not rich. None of these people were wealthy. The only one who could maybe make a claim to that was the woman Lydia who helped start the church. She's the only one that had financial means in that church. It was a very poor region who was under tremendous amounts of suffering. And yet they were going above and beyond to give and to serve and to love other people. How do they do that? Joy. For us today, when we serve with sincere joy, we declare and confirm God's salvation is working in and through us. And I believe, and this is going to be hard for you to hear today, I believe that God is calling us. God is calling us as a church to find a way to joyfully serve our community. Over the next few months, I'm going to ask you to do something dangerous with me. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer, asking God to show us the way, to light the way so that we can make an impact here in our community. And I understand that there are limitations, but I do believe with all of my heart that God will show us the way. He will light the path for us. on what we can do with the people we have and the resources at hand, we will find a way to impact this community by joyfully serving them. The second reason that we can serve Christ with joy this morning, number two, is because we get to work alongside. We get to work alongside our brothers and sisters. You know, there is such an overflow of joy that comes with serving alongside our fellow believers. Let's go to verse 7. Paul says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." There is joy that comes by serving alongside one another. And what is happening in this church, this is what we talk about when we want and we desire and we seek genuine fellowship. The Greek word for this is a word called koinonia. Koinonia. And this word has such a deeper meaning than just beyond fellowship, because really koinonia is more like a business partnership. And when we as Christians have this koinonia, this partnership, we declare our desire to stand with one another and be united with God. And what can stop us when we are united, arm in arm together with fellow believers, and we're locked arm in arm with Jesus Christ? I think it could be greater than some of the greatest partnerships ever in human history. Want to have a little quiz with me today? Let's have some fun. Have you ever heard the names Sam, Jack, Albert, and Harry Warner? These guys formed a partnership we call today, what? Warner Brothers, one of the biggest movie studios ever. Okay? You're good. Let's try this one. How about Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard? Does anybody know what they went on to... Hewlett-Packard, HP Computers. How many of you probably have one of those in your home today, right? These guys made the personal computer attainable to everyday Joes like me. Filthy, stupid, rich, right? Great partnership. Okay, some of you, one of my favorites. Well, not my favorite, my wife's favorite and my kids. How about Richard and Maurice McDonald? Does anybody know what these guys went on to make? McDonald's. How many billions now have they served? It just says like billions and billions now. It used to say like 80 billion, 90 billion, 100 billion. Now they just, we've served so many billions we don't even count anymore. Okay? The most successful franchise of human history, McDonald's, formed together by two brothers. Right? One that's near and dear to my heart, how about Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak? Anybody know what these guys went on to form? Apple computers. How many of you have one of these little devices in your pocket today? Right? Oh, don't give me that, Android people. Get out of here. Apple all the way. Okay, one last one that I'm sure many of you enjoy. I certainly do. How about Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield? What kind of partnership did they go on to make? Yeah. How many of you have ever eaten Ben and Jerry's? Yeah, of course you have. Used to. Yeah. It's amazing, folks. It's amazing what partnerships can form together, right? If these guys could do it in the business world, how much more can we do when we are linked together with each other and Jesus Christ? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? So much joy can be found when we work with others towards a common goal. And that really got me thinking. And I want to pose this as a serious question to you. Is there a single ministry in the church where God desires for someone to work alone? Is there any ministry in the church where it's God's desire for someone to do that ministry alone?
I have been racking my brain on this one. I haven't been able to discover not a single one. If you think of one, I want you to catch me after service and let me know. If there is a ministry that God says, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it by yourself, because I can't find it. But the joy in serving together, it's the bond. It's the bond that is created in the fellowship of one another and with Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, he says, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but then he says this, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken, is it? So I'm going to ask the tough question. Who are you in partnership with? Who are you in partnership with? I encourage you to find a friend and to serve Jesus Christ together, because, my friend, that's where joy is found. Not just in serving, but in serving together. And the more friends that we can find to link arms with, the better we are. We are stronger together. I am so thankful to God that it is not my sole responsibility to lead this church. Praise the Lord, because I'm a train wreck. I'm glad that I have three men that link arms with me that are very spiritual men that love Jesus, love you, and love this church, that have the ability to look at me and go, preacher, that's dumb. And that I have the ability to go, maybe we need to move forward with this. And we talk about that together. We do this together. What a beautiful thing. Who are you serving with? Who have you linked arms with? Because I promise you, you will find joy in that service, in that bond together. There's one more reason that we can serve Christ with joy today. I want to share this with you, and then we'll wrap it up for today. Number three is that we can serve Christ with joy because we will become what? More like Christ. Let's go back to our text, verse 9. Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that," verse 10, "so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness," get this, "that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." That, our end goal, that is our end goal as believers, right? Is to become more like Jesus. You know, really, it's in the name. We are called Christians. Do you know why we're called Christians? Believe it or not, being called a Christian was actually a derogatory remark that was made about us as Christians, as believers in Jesus. Because in the ancient world, being called Christian was we were being called little Christs. What they meant is an insult. I wear that as a badge of honor. I want to be more like Christ. The picture that emerges is that in joyful service, we gain more knowledge of Jesus. We understand and get what is truly important. We prioritize the necessary. And ultimately, joyful service shows who is sincere and blameless in Christ and who are just playing church. Again, Jesus was our greatest example. Jesus was the greatest human to ever live. He was the Son of God, and yet Jesus served humbly. In John chapter 13, we see when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. This job was reserved for the lowest of servants. And if there were no servants, it would be the responsibility of the first guest to arrive, who was probably Peter. And yet no one, None of Jesus' followers, no one would take the responsibility of washing people's dirty, nasty feet. So who takes on the job? Who puts on the hat of a servant? Jesus. But wait, Jesus is the guest of honor at this Passover meal. This was unheard of. Not only was Jesus God, he was the rabbi, he was the teacher, he sat in the place of honor. Jesus should have been the very last person in line to have to wash people's dirty, disgusting feet. But yet, Christ set the example for us that no one is too great to serve the King and the kingdom. Paul says that when we are served, we are filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. And true joy, abounding joy, is just one of those fruit. And you know what? He's got eight buddies. He's got eight other buddies in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? And so in everything that we do, our objective is to become more like Christ. And one of the ways we do that is by serving the way that Jesus served. Jesus says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he even goes so far as to say, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What joy can be ours as we serve like Christ and we become more like Christ together? Do you want to become more like Christ? Yes or no? Then serve with joy. Do you desire a rich and loving fellowship? Yes or no? Serve with joy. Do you desire for God's work to be made complete in you? Yes or no? Ready for this? Serve with joy. Now, I've been doing this pastor thing for many years now, and I've heard the following sentence probably more times than I would like to admit. But I often hear someone, in the best of intentions, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt, and they'll say something to the effect to me, "Well, preacher, pastor, you know, I think it would be great if someone would do blank. Preacher, wouldn't it be great if you did this? Or preacher, wouldn't it be great if someone would start this ministry?" You want to know what my response is? If God is calling you to do it, do it. If you believe it's a great idea to start this ministry or this project, do it. Take up the cross and follow Jesus. If you believe there's a ministry or service project that needs to be done, then get up and do it. Because the time for sitting back and expecting someone else to serve, those days are over. God is calling all of us to serve in some way until the day He calls us home or He returns, whichever comes first. Yes, some things you may not be able to do because of your age or circumstance or physical ability. But believe me, there is some way that every single person, no matter what stage of life you are in, there is some way for you to serve. And the best part is I'm going to encourage you to find others. You've got friends. There is someone who will link arms with you, who believes passionately in the ministry that God has called you to do because God's called them to do it with you. And know this, that Jesus is going to be with you as well. And so this morning I want to offer you an invitation to discover how God is calling you to serve His kingdom. We will help you identify those ways. But you can't serve Christ until you know Christ. And so if you are here today, I promise you the abounding joy that comes in relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins by believing in who He is, that He is the Son of the living God, by confessing that you are a sinner. That means that you're messed up. So am I. And that only Jesus can save you. And then Scripture commands us that we be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and because that is the root of joy, is the Spirit of God living in us. And so I'm going to tell you this morning. This may be controversial, but I will stand by it till the day I die. You will never know joy until you know Jesus. You can know happiness, but you will never understand joy until you know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you want to know Him and you want to serve Him and you want to follow Him today, then we're going to offer you that invitation right now to come forward, have a seat down here in the front row, and we're going to talk about that together, whatever that next step may be. And I want you to discover the joy that comes in relationship and with serving Jesus Christ. So let's stand together, and we're going to close this service, this sermon, in a song of invitation. What will you just...